how we do our best to share what God is doing in and through us, and just what we feel led that God is sharing through us to encourage all of us just to live our lives for Jesus and help us to just get us closer to who he is in our lives. And last week, I found myself just having a time. Like Pastor asked you, who's just had a day today, right? Well, that was me all last week. I was just having a time. And just even though I love Jesus with everything in me, right, with all my heart, I'm a devoted follower. And there are still times, though, of struggle. There's still times of frustration. And there's still times of anxiety, legit anxiety. And it's something that always comes up in my walk. And something that now in my adult ages, that I'm able to recognize a little bit more, though. I recognize now when I'm starting to go through this. And I'm able to seek God even more during those times. And so that's what I started to do last week, because I was just so frustrated, and I couldn't even put my finger on it, you know, like how sometimes you just are going through something, and you're just, I don't even know what it is. I'm just frustrated, and I'm just like, right? And so, but that's not always easy, right? So you go to God and you want to start talking to him. And when we do that, the enemy starts to push back at us. Like we learned on Sunday, right? He tries to obstruct and he tries to devour us. And so it's during those times that we have to start even fighting even more, because we can't let the enemy win. We can't let him win. So we have to stand firm. We have to keep pushing, because living for God is 24/7. It's not just a 2-day out of a 7-day week kind of thing. It's 24/7, and it's work, right? Philippians 2:12 says, continue to work out your salvation. That means keep going at it. Keep trying. Keep striving. Keep going after me. Don't give up. So I got to working it out. I found a room in my house that nobody was in, and I just went in and I said, God, just take it. Just take it. And that's all I said, because that's literally all I felt. Like, I didn't feel like anything. Sometimes you go in and you just have this crazy prayer and you're like, God, God, do this and this and this. Help me with this. I didn't know what else to say. I shut the door and I said, God, just take it. Please just take it. And so as I did that, a song came into my spirit. And it's been my prayer ever since, this whole week. And I couldn't get away from it. And usually I like to end service with a song. It's kind of what I like to do. But tonight I just asked God to, let's hear the prayer first. Let's hear what the prayer was even before we go into the message. And to open our hearts to what he would have us listen to tonight. And so if you will, if you feel comfortable, if you don't, just look at the words on the screen. Just let's close our eyes tonight and let's listen to this prayer of the song.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let them ring, always only for the King, always only for the King. Take my silver and my gold, not a voice I will withhold. Take my moments, take my ways, let them flow and cease this praise. Let them flow and cease this praise. take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
Amen. God, we give you tonight. We give you every word that is spoken, God. Open up our hearts to what you would have for us tonight. Speak through your servant, God, and help us to give you everything. Take it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You see, the surrender of our heart, words, mind, and life to God is an ongoing process that begins the moment we say yes to God, the moment we are born again as children of God, and it continues until he either calls us home or Jesus comes again. And there are four areas that God really challenged me this week on the thought of take it, Lord. The first thought is this. My prayer was, take my heart. I want to be wholeheartedly in love with Jesus. There's a big difference between being a half-hearted approach, having a half-hearted approach to God, and someone who has a wholehearted devotion to him. And you can almost see it in the way that people present themselves, right? Probably one of the easiest ones is to recognize, and we've all done it, I'm not picking on anyone, we've all done it, is during worship, when the song's going, somebody that comes in and just is like, yep, thank you, God, okay, like that. There's a difference between that, and there's a difference between someone who's just passionately in love with Jesus, wants to worship him with everything that they have, whether it looks like this or looks like this or looks like this. They have this passion for God, right? And that's the kind of passion that I want. I want to have that wholehearted devotion to him. Are we wholehearted, devoted followers of Jesus Christ? Proverbs 23:26 says, "Oh my son, give me your heart." And God speaks to us in this verse as his children. As a father, he says, give me your heart. He knows that if he doesn't have our hearts, in the end, he won't have anything. I read this in a commentary. It said, the heart is that which the great God requires and calls for from every one of us. Whatever we give, if we do not give him our hearts, it will not be accepted. Why? Why is that? Why our hearts? The human heart weighs less than a pound. It beats 100,000 times a day and over 2.5 billion times in the average lifetime. Your system of blood vessels, arteries, veins, capillaries is over 60,000 miles long. It can wrap around the whole world once, maybe even twice. And it carries 1 million barrels of blood in a lifetime. When I read this kind of stuff, it's mind-blowing to me, right? How amazing God is and how he created our bodies to work. And it's not just mind-blowing. Like, this is the human heart. Without your heart, your body would quickly cease to work. And this is why Jesus spoke so greatly of the heart. It's a metaphor for your inner life. That's why we need a healthy heart physically and spiritually. The Bible says the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. Whenever I think of the heart, I think of David, who is penned as a man after God's very own heart. That even though, read the life of David, read a character study of David, even though he sinned, even though he struggled at times, even though, you know, he went off his way sometimes, he always came back to God. He always, his sole purpose was to honor God and accept whatever God brought on him or to him. In the end, he just wanted to please God. He was a man after his own heart. And I think we all need heart checks sometimes. We all need heart checks sometimes, whether you are a newborn Christian or whether you've known Jesus since Moses. We all need a heart check. Even the healthiest athletes in the world, when they go to the doctor's appointment, what does the doctor do? Checks their pulse, right? He does a heart check. Why? Why the heart? Because your heart affects everything that is going on in your body. The athlete doesn't say, no, doc, I'm good. You don't need to check my heart today. And the doctor doesn't say, oh, he just won the strongest man alive. I don't need to check his heart. He's just fine. No, they check your heart. We need to do a heart check to make sure that we're healthy. And so for us, we need to make sure our hearts are wholeheartedly devoted to God. So do you ever hear anyone say, oh, just follow your heart. Oh, just follow your feelings. Just go after whatever your heart says. Be careful of that, because your heart is full of feelings, right? So even 1 John 3:20 says, if our hearts condemn us, if it goes against us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. He's greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Why is that? Again, because our hearts are full of feelings. And if I did everything that my heart told me to do, I would be in trouble. I would be in trouble because God's greater than my hearts. And that's why we have to say to God, take my heart. It's the center of everything that I do. It's the center of who God should be in my life. And God, I need you at the center, right? When my center is off, my equilibrium, my balance, everything is off. When teaching dance, when we're teaching turns, right, we start here, and I say, pull up, boom, find your center. As soon as they pull up and they find their center, the longer they can find their center, the more turns you'll see a dancer doing, okay? Why? Because they have to find center. And so our heart is the center of who we are. And so we say, God, take my heart. Are you wholeheartedly in love with Jesus tonight? The second one, take my mind. Take my mind. In 2005, the National Science Foundation published an article summarizing research on human thoughts per day. It was found that the average person has about 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. I'm more on the 60,000 side than I am on the 12,000. And of those 1,000 thoughts, 80% were negative, and 95% were exactly the same repetitive thoughts as the day before. We can see that one of the tendencies of the mind is to focus on the negative and to play the same songs over again. When I read this, I felt convicted, because 80% of my thoughts, if I'm honest with you, they're usually negative. And I saw this meme in my head as I was reading this. Polly, go ahead and put it up. I'm sure you've all seen it. When I start reading that about my thoughts, and I'm like, what do I do now? What do I do with that? So that's kind of how I felt as I was reading that. But it's our minds. We've heard it so many times that our inner state of mind is the main influencing factor on why we do what we do, how we live our life, and what we achieve. In other words, the quality of our state of mind has an impact on the quality of our lives. This is why mental health is so important. And it's being talked about now more than ever. They're finding that in this whole past few months of isolation, that people are now discovering their mental health is very important, right? That's why I'm thankful for Sue Gagne. She's really helped this church become more aware of mental health in our lives. Why? Because it's important. It's important. Even Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With all your mind. That's why my prayer is, God, take my mind. God knows what we're thinking about each moment of the day, and he further knows that what we think about is what we're going to become. Our thoughts are the seeds of our actions. According to Dr. Caroline Leaf, who specializes in all these thought processes of the brain and everything like that, and she's a Christian. She says toxic thoughts such as stress, worry, fear, and anger, and unforgiveness actually cause damage to the brain. Chemicals are released into the brain, causing chaos and damage. These toxic thoughts can cause a loss of sleep or the ability to do your job right, physical illness, and more. All because of the thoughts that we think. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we demolish arguments of every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. Do you know that your brain can only hold 3 or 4 legitimate thoughts at one time? 3 or 4. That's as many as you can think about at once. Okay, so that means anytime a negative thought comes in, we have a choice to replace it with a positive one. Because we can only think 3 or 4 things at once. And so if a negative thought comes in, Bible says to take captive that thought, to replace it with a positive thought so you're not thinking on the negative thought. You can't praise God and complain at the same time. I can't lift my hands and say, God, you are good, you're a good God, and then be like, ugh, this stinks, this weather, why can't blah, blah. I can't do that at the same time. You can't praise and complain at the same time. So when you start to think something negative, take captive that thought and replace it with something positive. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Philippians 4:8, and we all know this one. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. How's your thought life? Have you said, God, take my mind. Let my mind be focused on you and not what I'm most likely thinking about. Replace those negative thoughts with positive ones. So number one, God, take my heart. Number two, God, take my mind. Number three, God, take my hands and my feet. I'm going to read from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, with each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet. And with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. So Isaiah is having this vision from God. He was an ordinary man. If you read, again, the character study of Isaiah, it said that he probably was a scribe in the temple. So he was an ordinary man who has this vision from God. And after seeing the angels and seeing how glorious it was, he recognizes, I'm just a man. I'm a sinner. Who am I for this to happen? The angel comes down, cleanses him. And at that moment, when he's cleansed, God says, who's going to go for me? Who am I going to send? And Isaiah, not knowing what this was going to entail, God didn't lay it all out for him and say, well, you're going to become a major prophet, and you're going to tell the story of Jesus years from now. People are going to be reading your words. He didn't let him know that. All he said is, who is going to go for me? Who am I going to send? And he says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. He was willing to obey God and step out in faith and let God do extraordinary things through him. to use him wherever he went, wherever his foot went, Jesus was going to use him. Whatever his hands penned, God was going to use him. He didn't know how or what, but he said yes. He said yes. Have we said to God, use my hands, God, use my feet. You have my heart, you have my mind. Now use wherever I'm going to go. Here I am. See, I want to be used by Lord no matter what it's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I want to be the one that says, yes, God, I will go. I want my life to be for him and what brings him the most glory. Here are lyrics to an old Salty song. I've brought up Salty, the singing songbook, before. For those of you that don't know, go ahead and YouTube it. You'll love me for it. But anyway, they sang a song, and these are the words. My hands are the hands that God will use to show the world his love. When people look at me, they'll see a bit of heaven from above. And my feet are the feet that God will use to carry forth the light. If people will believe in him, they can have eternal life. And what a beautiful prayer that is. Take my hands, God. Take my feet. I will go where you send me. Here I am. And when we put all of this together, when we give God our heart, when we give God our mind, when we give God our hands and our feet, we can say to him, God, take my life. Can we say that every part of our life belongs to God? Every decision that we make belongs to him. Have we given him everything? Jesus, I'm glad that you're here.
Hey.
Listen, I was just talking about you. I wanted to give you this.
Really?
Yes.
You realize if I sit in that stool, then I control your decisions, right? Your choices.
I know. Well, yeah. See, I've been making decisions for my life, and they just haven't been going so well. So I figured, you know what? Jesus makes the best decisions, hands down. So I'm going to give you this. All make right. all the
awesome.
Decisions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Aaron, guess
hey.
What I got?
What?
My new credit card. Guess
okay.
who's going to go shopping?
Oh, wait. I thought you and your husband were trying to pay off some debts. And,
yeah, well, money's you know, been a little tight, but yeah. Neil's not here tonight. So you want to go shopping?
No.
No. No, I mean, I don't know. Let me check my calendar, and I'll see what we're doing this weekend, and I'll
Great.
Let you know.
Perfect.
All right, I'll text
see
you later.
Soon.
All right, cool.
Hey, Aaron,
yeah.
what you doing?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of half-cheeking it here.
Oh, right.
Okay, so yeah. let's recap. You gave me the stool.
I did.
The stool controls all your choices.
Yes.
So what's the deal?
I don't know. I got caught up in the moment. Sorry.
Okay.
Listen, I want you to make choices right. for my life, the decisions for my life. I want, please sit back down.
Okay.
Please.
Are you sure?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Please.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Since we're making choices.
Yeah.
Your anger is getting the better of you. And since anger is a choice.
Jesus, I know what you're going to say. Okay. And yeah, you just don't understand
really?
What's going on in this life right
well,
now. Have you seen 2020? It's kind of a mess. Of course I'm going to get angry. So listen, I just
okay.
don't, you
okay.
don't
okay.
understand.
Okay. We can't keep doing this. We both can't sit in the seat. It's either you or it's me.
I know. I didn't think it was going to be this hard. Take it.
Aaron, I can't take it from you. I need you to give it to me.
Okay. Here.
You need to decide, Aaron.
I can't.
Well, sounds like you already did.
In Joshua, it says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. When we say, God, take my life, we're saying, God, make every decision for me. Make every choice that I'm going to make. When we say, God, I give you this. I want to hand this to you. So many times we try to bump him off because we don't like the answer. We don't like the choices that he's making. We think we can make better choices for our lives than he can. But the truth is, he knows what we're capable of and what we need at the time. And so many times, we live our life in compartments. We put God in the church compartment over here, and we let him make decisions when we're here, or we let him make decisions when we're thinking about him, right? But what about when we're at work? What about when we're with our family? What about when we're with our friends? What about when we're at school? What about in our relationships? Are we letting God make all of those decisions too? You see, we live our life like I said, in compartments, like a frozen meal, where everything is in its separate compartment. But God wants to be intertwined in everything that we do, like a chicken pot pie. He wants it all mixed together. He wants to be woven in and through everything that we do. He wants to make the decisions for every part of our life. The Bible says, whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Give him your life. Let him take every part. Let him sit on the stool and make the decisions. Whether we like the decisions or not, he has the best answer for us. Martin Luther says, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Give everything to God today. Give him your heart. Give him your mind. Give him your hands, your feet. And give him your life. Every part of it, not just a small part of it. Let our prayer be this. God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. Will you stand with me tonight? You know, I just felt really strongly about just sharing this type of message because if we're honest, I think there's areas in our life that we can really work on giving to him, right? And so would you just make this your prayer? Will you just take your hands? If any part of this message spoke to you, just not, don't go like this like you're receiving something, but go like this like you're going to give God your life tonight. And just repeat this after me. God, take my heart. Help me to be wholehearted in love with you. God, take my mind, my thoughts. Everything that I think is yours. God, take my hands and my feet. I will go where you send me. And God, take my life. Every part of it. Make the decisions, God. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for coming tonight. We truly love every single one of you. We'd love to see you on Sunday morning, 8:30, 10 a.m. here, or 12 noon over at St. Anthony's. We love you. If you need prayer for anything, just let us know, and we hope you have a great night.